And now the game where we invite notable people onto the show to answer questions about things they didn't bother to note. James Webb has done a lot of things in his life. He was an amateur boxer as a youth, then a Marine officer in Vietnam, a novelist, a journalist, at one point the Secretary of the Navy in the Reagan administration. But nobody gave him much of a chance early on to get his current job, senator from the great Commonwealth of Virginia. Nonetheless, he won his seat in 2006. He has now published another book, this time titled A Time to Fight. He joins us now. Senator Webb, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Nice to be with you.
Senator, I almost apologize for this, but you know it's a political season. We've got to ask this question. You have said in your writings and your book that you have three tattoos, but you do not say what they are, sir. What are your tattoos?
I think if you want to know that, you'll just have to catch me at the beach some.
Really? You're not going to tell me? Because we were guessing. We didn't know. It was like we were imagining a little tramp stamp in the lower back. We didn't know.
Okay, like I say, I'll catch me at Virginia Beach sometime.
All right, we will. We'll do that.
If you're in a swimsuit, we'll be able to see at least one of them?
If I'm in a swimsuit, you'll be able to see two.
All right. Ooh. Okay. All right. Interesting information.
Nice tack, Roxanne.
Very well done, sir. Well done. Well played. Your newest book you tell the stories of your life and your background and how you came by your beliefs. You've been a boxer, you were in the military, of course, very many military roles, very opinionated, as you yourself say. Do those traits help you in the Senate, which I understand is a deliberative body, not combative, not
confrontational? I think there were a lot of people who expected that because of the way that our campaign was run, that I would come in and use that sort of style. But I think if you look at what we've been able to do over the last 16, 17 months, I think the people who voted for me would be very proud of what we've been able to do. We've worked across party lines. The best example of that is this GI Bill. I worked very hard across party lines with the veterans groups. We got 58 co-sponsors in the Senate, 11 of them Republicans, and we just got a vote of 75 to 22. And you don't do that if you're just going out to pick a fight.
Sure. It was well done. We've heard that there's a lot of play at fighting a conflict in the Senate. People who will get up and make speeches condemning their colleagues for their foolishness and their silliness will then go back behind the scenes and be good friends. Do you find that to be the case in the Senate, that a lot of public combat becomes collegial behind the scenes?
It's probably the other way around.
Oh, really? I mean, you're saying people secretly hate each other but act nice in front of the camera?
There's a lot of collegiality. There's a chapter in my book called Scorpions in a Jar.
Yes.
When you have to deal with 99 other very strong personalities every day inside that environment, you tend to want to have a collegial relationship while you're debating, and you know people all obviously have their own personal arguments, et cetera, behind the scenes. So it's kind of the flip side, actually, of what you just said.
That's interesting.
Have you ever wanted to slug someone?
In the Senate?
Yeah.
If you haven't, we've all wanted to slug someone in the Senate.
I haven't found it necessary to have that urge.
Okay. Now, I have to ask you about this. I know everyone knows that your name has been bandied about as a potential vice presidential running mate for Barack Obama. In fact, you introduced Barack Obama as he launched his general campaign in Virginia earlier this week. I'm not going to ask you if you're going to do it, but I do want to ask you, how do you feel about being in that position, to have your name, all the pundits shooting your name back and forth, measuring you up, measuring you down?
Well, there's a lot of space to fill right now in terms of political commentary. Mm-hmm. And I think that the strongest thing that I can say is that I'm not looking for that position. I'm very honored to be serving in the Senate right now and representing people of Virginia.
I just want to say, you know that the vetting process for the vice presidential nominee is very, very severe. You're going to have to reveal the third tattoo. I'm just saying. Probably. It's going to be, and it's not going to be fun because it's going to be like you're going to have to go into a back room with someone like Warren Christopher and show it to him. And it's just going to be not fun.
Right, that's good. That's
it. He's not doing it. Well, Senator Jim Webb, we are so honored to have you with us. We have asked you here, though, to play a game, and we're going to call it
Money Can't Buy Happiness, But It Can Sure Rent It.
Which may be the lesson of the life of Huntington Hartford, wealthy playboy, artistic dilettante, a man who loved not too wisely, but perhaps too numerously. He died this past month at the age of 97. We're going to ask you three questions about his remarkable life. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine, something even Mr. Hartford's money could never buy. Carl, who is Senator James Webb playing for?
The senator is playing for Barbara Gornto of Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Here we go. First question. He tried to work for a living a number of times during his life, even though he was born to the wealth of the A&P fortune. At one point, he tried to be a reporter, but he didn't do so well at that job. In fact, he once failed to file a story on time. Well, because why? Was it A, he couldn't find a place to park his yacht? B, he decided he couldn't write the story without his favorite fountain pen, which happened to be at his summer home in Switzerland? Or C, he became paralyzed with indecision over whether to use the word can't or cannot?
Sounds like a B.
Sounds like a B. He couldn't write the story without his favorite fountain pen, and it happened to be in Switzerland at his chalet. Is that your choice?
That's my choice.
No, I'm afraid it was A. He couldn't find a place to park his yacht. He was working for a newspaper in New York, and he had taken his yacht over to Long Island to cover the story, and he came back to the city, and he couldn't find a place to tie it up, so he missed his deadline.
How many times has that happened to you, PJ?
Oh, I hate it when that happens. I just hate it when that happens. You know, sometimes I'll just throw the anchor out anywhere, you know. Swim to shore, but I never miss the deadline.
All right. You still have two chances here. Hartford said that among his prouder moments in his long and interesting life was his service in the Navy during World War II. But he didn't do so well at that either. What happened during his Navy service? A, he went AWOL for a month after discovering the girls on Fiji would do almost anything for a Coca-Cola. B, he ran his ship aground after he mistook fathoms on a chart for feet. Or C, he independently decided to liberate a small Pacific island that turned out to be an oil platform.
Given everything you said, I'd probably have to take A.
You're going to take A, that the girls on Fiji are just thrilled for the pause that refreshes? Is that your
From
choice?
From his perspective.
From his perspective. Is that your choice, sir?
Yes.
No, I'm afraid it was B. He mistook fathoms for feet, or most likely feet for fathoms, so he managed to run aground. It was the second time he ran his boat aground, but he said the first time wasn't his fault.
He was trying to make a deadline, and
now it gets. All right, your last question. Huntington Hartford never smoked and never drank in his life, but he did have trouble controlling his appetite for female company. He married four times, and each time his wife left him because of his compulsive infidelities. For his second wife, Marjorie, the last straw was when what happened? A, he introduced her at a party as Helen. No, Marilyn. No, damn it. Which one are you? B, Marjorie came home to find her own clothing in boxes and a girlfriend's clothing in her closets. Or C, he responded to accusations of womanizing by saying to her, "You're like caviar, my darling. You're absolutely my favorite, but you can't expect me to eat it at every meal."
Oh boy, I'll go with B.
You're going to go with B, the clothing in the closets?
Right.
You're right! There you are. Marjorie said of finding the other woman's stuff in her closet, quote, "Hunt never understood why I was so upset." Carl, how did Senator Jim Webb do in our quiz?
Well, the senator needed at least two correct answers to win for Barbara Gornto, but he had just one correct answer.
Ah, well. Well, as you know, through your long history and experience in the military, you can't win them all.
Well, my apologies to Barbara. I know how much that voice would have meant to her.
I know. I know. It's terrible.
But you didn't really want a senator that knew the answers to those questions, did you?
I think. I think sometimes ignorance of our quizzes is a sign of a life well lived.
Yes,
don't you
I
think?
Do too, yeah.
Speaking of which, Jim Webb is a U.S. Marine, an author, a journalist, a public servant, and now, of course, the senator from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Senator Webb, thank you so much for your service. Good luck to you in the Senate, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.